Alan Baird.
Obviously, there's a bit of a little bit of communication mix-up. I was going to present individually, but I'm quite heavily involved with Federated Farmers.
Okay.
And so I'm presenting part of Federated Farmers.
All right, so you're part of the Federated Farmers team. Barkman Farming Limited.
Chairman.
Yeah, good afternoon and welcome.
Good afternoon, Eric, Morris and Lloyd, Tanakwe, Matua, Edward. Good afternoon, staff.
Now, we've received the original submission, thanks for putting that in, and also the pre-circulated evidence. Thanks very much for putting that together. We don't need you to read any of that out to us because you've already read it, but you're very welcome to speak to that and highlight your key points of concern and, in particular, what you'd like us to do about that.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Murray Barkman and this is my wife, Lisa. We've come here today to express our concern and the uncertainty of our farming future and the future of other farmers. To be fair, what we have been working towards, i.e. our retirement fund, could easily be eroding before our eyes. More uncertainty and stress for our family and us. We do support the recommendation from Environment South and that after receiving all the early submissions, they recommended up to 50 hectares of intensive winter grazing per land holding without resource consent. Now this suits our operation and small farm, but landholders with much larger operations will not be so pleased. With so much at stake for our family, it is only reasonable to make decisions based on accuracy and certainty. No one in their right minds wants to wreck their business and livelihood. As our land cannot be converted to dairy now, we have been denied the same opportunities that our dairy neighbours have. When they come to me to sign their consents, I will now think twice before signing. Why should I sign?
We think parts of this proposed plan are going to drive a wedge between the have and the have-nots. At this stage, we are unsure of how the plan will affect our usage of our land between the peat dome and our paddocks, our developed paddocks. If we can't use this land as we do at the moment, we winter young cattle on it, this will once again revert back to gores. Who will pay for the weed control? We certainly won't want to if we're not going to benefit from this land. Also, will there be a reduction in our rates if this is to happen? This water and land plan has certainly made us think a lot more about our water quality and our future. If we did have excess money, we would love to be able to use it to do more riparian planting to benefit our waterways, but it's hard work making money off our small business, being able to pay off debt and make improvements to our land for our family's future is our priority. People need to think outside the square, and we have a grazing idea that we have learnt from other graziers, friends of ours, that we want to share with you. We were always told that grazing cows on a long face was best, as this gave the stock plenty of scope and to utilise feed with the least amount of wastage. We found that this was very hard on the ground, especially if there had been a lot of rain. The cows tend to wander up and down the fence. Even with batting fences, the damage was already done.
So we now split our paddock in half and then split into blocks. Each block has been measured and baleage placed in each block for the animals' daily requirements. The animals are moved on each day to the next block. This means that the animals are only on that piece of ground for one day, which is less stress on the ground, and the cows we have the option of shifting more than once a day if needed. We also cut the bottoms out of the baleage so there is no plastic left in the paddock. Is then packed up for recycling. Plus, we also use portable troughs that are moved to each block with the cows. Now, gentlemen, can we approach you to show you what we do? We have a drawing here to explain our system and present our soil samples as mentioned in the stuff we submitted in May. And because we're farmers and not scientists, we've brought these soil samples to show you where we're coming from. So thank you for your time.
You can show us your map.
Okay, thank you.
Just watch out for that wire there, so you can go around and go the other way.
Health and safety.
Yeah, that one, yeah.
Groceries.
You're not going to tip that soil on our desk,
are you? No, it's well wrapped up. I just thought this would be the best way I could really explain this.
Right.
Okay, so this is what we used to do. We always used to use the long face system with our troughs from here and the bays all placed out. And as we said, they tend to just walk up and down. If you went to check them, they would just think being fed, come and see, so up and down they go. Now on this system that we, and one thing with farmers, it's easy for them to think of new ideas, it's just to get them having a go at it. And what we do now...
Sorry, I was going to pause. Nancy, do you want to come and watch as well? We're reporting officers, so...
Okay.
Don't trip over the wire.
We'll wire it up.
Okay.
So what we do now,
so that's what they used to do.
Yeah, this is generally, and you often find we've had that from, we hear from advisors and everyone will recommend the system. But we've actually found if you split the paddock and then you graze them like this, and as you go you wind the fence up, but they do not, the ground is, it's not as hard on the ground, and we're on the tractor a lot earlier than normal.
It's not all pugged up. It's a great idea, we found it brilliant.
And what they tend to do is they go into the block, and we thought they'd trample a lot, but they go in and they stand and they graze.
They just stand and live all around them.
So how many times during the winter would you have to give them a bit more, because they are starting to get in a bit deep?
Deeper. Not very often here.
8 or 10 times?
This last winter's been really good.
It wasn't a real winter though.
Probably a couple of times. And that would be, and this is where I'm coming from with this bit of soil, because we can't understand while we're deemed as all peatland, because of our soil structures. So we know, as farmers, we know where the water lies, where it runs, where the swales are. And, So
does that system have a name, or have you just made some
No, as Lisa said, a friend of ours actually started, and it took me a while to be convinced that would actually work till I tried it.
Right.
Mm.
That's interesting.
But you can walk across the top of the ground, you know. They're not in mud.
So how many years have you been doing that?
Just the last few years.
We only just tried this last season.
Yeah, it was a gentle winter to try it, wasn't it? But the principle's good.
Yes.
You know, you can see when you look along the paddock, where we've had wet days, So often if we've had a wet day, Eric will take that middle fence out and give them the whole long piece, and especially if they don't eat all their crop, if there's still crop left over, we'll wind up that middle fence and they can come back onto that piece and tidy up. So they do a tidy up job, so there's very little wastage feeding it that way.
That area, we did have some Swedes that we still did this system with, and that paddock is a lot worse than any of these ones. Mm-hmm. These were chow and middle eater.
Be a block grazing system against a strip grazing system.
Yes. Yeah, it's
so if that's kale though, you'd be on this with a tractor or something knocking down your electric
wheel. We use a chopper on the front of the bike.
And you do like 10 days in a row and go through and take all the bottoms off the bale, so that when you do feed out the bale, you're just going to take the wrapping off of the outside.
So in a sense, they use treatment.
Yes. And there's very little waste. Everything's tidied up.
Yeah, well, that's good. Show us
your dirt. Most people keep that.
Yeah.
I'm hoping this one's going to be
chocolate cake.
Yeah.
Have a go, Eric.
So you'll guess where that one came from.
That's a bit of a low dome.
That's what we're talking about before. This bit of land here, we're entitled to graze environment, so we've been out and said that we can work that, and not our native peat. But this land down here, when you stand on this, you can look up at the peat dome, and I'm guessing there could be 2.5-3 metres at the top of the native So this one here has come from the middle of the farm. And as you can see, it's a bit hard to see from the traffic. But it's more, it's not peat soil, so it's been farmed since 1883. We believe, and we've been sowing peatland right to about through our front paddock here.
So we've only got the front paddock here.
Yeah.
If it goes the way it's here. So there's
it's
only
quite organic though, is it, Morris?
It's quite dark, isn't it? It's not really a mineral soil, it's called an organic soil.
Okay, but that's why you know, like scientists are going to have a different idea of what I'm going to have probably. So.
Yeah. But then we should have actually taken a sample of closer in, I suppose, but...
No, we'll see what you're doing.
Yeah. Some of the paddocks here, that's right, when you get up into these paddocks, it does get more organic,
yeah.
You know, to out on the main...
Okay, we'll see if we have any questions for you, Board of State.
I'll just ask the same question as you've raised the 50 hectares. Is a percentage more agreeable to you as a way forward for a wider number of farmers?
The 50 hectares. Well, it is because you see that's we're about that. That's all we actually, the amount of cows we winter, that's all we use. So that's what I'm saying. It suits our practice. But if I had, 500 hectares, I probably wouldn't agree.
So just moving on to your submission, you've made mention of subsurface drains. You haven't mentioned about cleaning them, but you've mentioned that the new ones, it's quite easy to know where they are and identify. Do you know the outlets of your existing drains, or would you be able to find majority of them?
Well, quite a few of them. But as I said, we have drains that are the triangle wooden. I know one of them, and it still haven't checked for a while, but it was still running. And originally, Dad said they did use manuka drains, so I doubt they even run now. So, to all those drains would be very hard to find them wood.
Right. And my last point is raised around what you've just showed us. What mob sizes do you use for that block grazing technique you've demonstrated to us?
We tried 100 here.
100, and what was the strip grazing numbers that you used previous years?
We on the long faces, yes, it was under that. We went up to 80. We did try 100, but just with them up and down, we went back to 80.
So you're actually grazing more per mob
in
the block grazing than what you did in the strip grazing?
Yeah. Yes.
And what was the length of that longest face?
They're all different.
The longest one?
The longest one on the face would have probably been 80 metres.
Okay.
That's the half, and then it would be 80 to 90 metres.
Okay.
They're all different. Every paddock was different, so we had to...
Irregular.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it would be the longest
one. Oh, yeah, on the block.
On the diagram you showed us, it looks like it could be 200 or 300 metres. So I'm just trying to get an idea of scale.
Yeah.
So the last question is
But of course, Lloyd, sorry to interrupt you, but if it's a narrower paddock, it would instead of being it would be more square to make sure I've got the requirements of feed, because you have to measure the feed.
Yes.
And go off, that's how we worked out the block size. So if you had a narrow face, it would make it square.
Okay.
Yeah.
And my last question is, roughly, bearing in mind paddock sizes, roughly what size is the block size that you're feeding the cows? How many metres forward to how many metres wide?
It would probably be 12 to 14.
It's a quite decent chunk.
Yeah.
To fit the 100
cows
and about 3 bales of
average
in
the
water trough. Yeah.
We had thought about doing it, instead of splitting the paddock down the middle, splitting it in three, so that actually would make bigger squares. But then it became a really problem with rolling out the portable trough. And then also, with that system there, as we go forward, we can wind up that middle fence. You get to the end of the paddock, the fence will wound up. You don't have to, sort of done that job, so that was a real bonus.
Excuse me, Lloyd, that first question you asked Murray about how long the face was, were you talking about the strip grazing
one?
Yeah. How long's about the strip grazing?
You're meaning the actual blocks that are in?
The old stock.
The old face of bump, how long is it? you know, when we did the strip grazing along Bump, and we shifted the fence each day, how long was that face?
Oh, in the original? Sorry, I just understood your question. We would pick, some of our paddocks are up to 400 metres.
So it's quite long.
I think when I used
to shift the fences, I was walking about 18k's a day.
So you don't have any questions, Stuart?
Thank you. I see you've included a water test here.
Yeah.
Is this out of the main stream through your property, or?
No, what happens there, all our stock water comes from a trough, and that's out of our bore.
Oh, that's bore water?
Bore water, yes.
And is this the first test you've done?
Probably originally when we put the bore down, but because of coming here, we decided to do one.
Yeah.
All our fences, I think I indicated in what we submitted in May, are all fenced off.
All the ditches are fenced off.
And we don't have any natural streams, we only have man-made ditches. We have farm.
Okay. Thank you for that.
Okay. Yeah, Kirling, I see you're joined the Waimatuku catchment group. Is that a fledging group, or?
Well, we just, that's just been set up and that, but we also have gone in, to the Pirikino catchment group as well.
They've been quite active.
They're a lot more active than our group, and we found it actually rewarding. So I suppose no matter where you go, you're going to learn something. So it would be good if we can get one pushed along a bit more. And
So does it cover the actual water catchment area of Waimatuku, or is it?
Yes, it does.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Have you shown those soil samples to a soil scientist, like somebody at Environment Southland or somebody else, just so that they can give you an opinion as to what kind of soil it is?
No, we haven't. But we do get
soil tests done
through balance,
see what fertiliser and stuff we need to put on.
And I'd also like to point out that we have used Environment Southland in the past. We have planted about 1,200 metres down here. Our boundary, which Gary came out and helped us with, and also when I was talking about the little bit of land on the boundaries, the native peat, we sought advice from that.
Yeah. Something like Nathan Krupczak should probably tell you a lot about your soil.
Okay, thank you.
And I have no further questions. Thanks very much for coming in and sharing your thoughts and concerns with us.
Okay. Well, thanks for your time.
You're welcome.